Some people is like meeting someone brand new, and then others you've known for years and years and suddenly you find out they're interesting. Maybe you've got to know these people. So Rudy Klaas is one of those. We've been hearing him singing in the music industry for years and years, and suddenly we find out the man's got a testimony. He's gone through stuff in life. So Rudy, how are you doing?
Hello, such a nice pleasure to speak to you. I'm doing very well. How are you today?
And I'm not taking that for granted when you're saying it's going very well, because I've seen photos where you look terrible, absolutely horrendous, but we'll be getting to that now. Before we get into what you've been through now, I'd love to introduce you, not the Rudy that people see with the done photos, you know, the normal Rudy at home before the first cup of coffee, the one that that lovely wife of yours knows. If you had to introduce that, who's Rudy?
That Platapiada guy wakes up every morning hoping for the absolute best experience. And I now have the privilege of saying that the first thing I tend to in the morning is God. And this is not just for the sake of this interview, but it used to just be me rambling around, sorting out my emotions, until I realized how much we are in control of those once we understand how valuable we are and how much we have to obtain in this life. So the first and most important thing for me is to sort myself out in my heart with my relationship with God before I even step foot out of bed.
Okay, but if I look at what I've seen about you so far, to me, you look like quite a positive guy. You look like quite a sentimental, like sensitive kind of guy. You're a thinker, that kind of thing. Am I summarizing you well?
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, overthinker would be more apt. completely obsessed with thinking to the point that it could be detrimental. Luckily, I have an engineer of a wife who's more chemically inclined. So the other side of her brain compensates for that, which is dysfunctional in mine. And I'm very grateful for that. And that is why people get together. And I also, in my situation, may I just say, artists should not date. And if it works for the 1%, praise the Lord.
I totally hear you. It's like deficit with deficit. It just doesn't work together. Okay, so now I'm curious, because people, when they see you, especially when they've known you for a long time in the secular music industry, they put you in that box and they quite frankly write you off if they're Christians. And then if you start singing a gospel song, they're all suspicious and cynical, and they say, okay, we're just waiting for you to fall. So they want to find out, are you serious? Did you really get saved? And how did it happen?
This is such a big, humongous story. So let me condense it into the following. So whilst I was sick, for those listeners who do not know, and I don't expect everyone to know, as I never take offense when someone does not know who I am, I'm not Diana. I was extremely ill for about 2 years there, even longer. I'm still recovering, but I did physically die. I passed on, my heart stopped, function stopped for about a minute, and I was resuscitated. And during that period of time, if there are any persons out there that have any doubts if there is a heaven or a hell, I am here to tell you that there is. And that I saw with my own physicality, not with the eyes that we see here, to the extent that I cannot describe it to you aptly. But I lived that. Had I not lived that, I would not be able to have returned to this body and do the work that I'm doing now, which is 1,000% in honor of God. And I must say, prior to this, I've written hundreds of number one songs that were gospel in nature and did extremely well for me. But I want people to understand that as a writer, you are able to write truth and conviction songs in the name of God without really knowing who He is. Because the artistry is only a part of the gift. The relationship is where the music comes from. And once you understand that, you start to make music.
Okay, tell me, what is it that you experienced that literally changed the way you think when you came back?
What happened was, in short, I'm going to try. It's my weak point.
So I want the juicy details. I don't want the short version. Thank you very much.
Let's juice it for you. So I basically, they gave me medicine that I was allergic to, and no one conjured awareness of this. There was only one thing that they that they knew that I was allergic for. And they injected this into me. And I had such a reaction that I died instantly. Now, usually there's, and I know this because I was in ICU for months on end. So I know if there's nonsense, many, many lights and alarms go off and everyone runs in the same direction. And you know, whoa, there's trouble.
Yeah.
Little did I know that I would become one of those troublesome situations. But mine was so fast in nature that there was not even time to get a machine to resuscitate. So they had to manually. And this was the day after I had my 14th surgery. This was the one that kind of saved my life. If I did not have that surgery, I most certainly wouldn't be here. And I take my hat off to the amazing surgeons and everyone involved. But I literally, in that moment, I died. And as I died, and I don't say that lightly, I literally say that I died because I did. You clearly also know that you are no longer of this world. I literally saw this light, and I want people to imagine for the sake of this that they're looking into the sun. And now it's hard. You can't look into the sun because after a while you will obviously go blind. I want people to almost try to imagine what it would be like to be able to look into a sun that I can't really put an estimate to it, but let's be hyperbolic and say a million times as bright as the sun, but you are able to look into it. That's what I want people to think. And that's what I experienced, this pure white light. It is the whitest light that I could ever, I can't even explain it. Then I found myself in the midst of something. And I would not say that you don't become something else, but I wouldn't call myself human in that. I would call myself an existing entity in God. So I immediately knew that whatever was in front of me was Christ. But I knew to the right of where I was that that was the presence of God. And you dare not look in that direction until it's almost as if you understand the agreement. And I very succinctly remember knowing that, okay, let's move forward now. And you know, you're going, oh, hey, it's my party. And you're all on your way. And it's a merry little. And at that same time, I did conjure awareness of myself in this physical form. I didn't know that I passed on. You're very aware, but you have no sentiment towards it. You have feeling, you have an understanding of it, but God is so great in that majesty is so overwhelming that you cannot even tend to that really. And as I wouldn't call it a step, as I leapt forward into what I would deem, and it felt like a massive, as I said, it really literally felt like a celebration, like everyone was just there in honor of me coming over, and it was like, how long did you plan this? And it was so amazing. And as I was about to give my first and do the hallelujah and go join the choir and make chaos in heaven, I was sucked back into a darkness for a second, I think, which felt to me like an eternity. And I always say at the end of my shows that the most expensive thing to me in the world is silence. And when I say silence, I mean the silence where you can actually hear what you're supposed to hear. You can actually hear what you're supposed to get from God. I've always been saying that. And I truly believe that that would have been my hell had I gone there. It would have been so much silence that my heartbeat and the throbbing of what we would deem to be blood irritated me so much that I could not stand it. It was so bad that that silence was so overwhelming that I wished for noise to cancel it out. And in that second, I was pulled right back to that, I call it the center, because it literally felt like I was in the center of a precipice of choices. But as I just started to almost emulate forward, God spoke. And this was not the first time. The first time I heard God speak to me was in the hospital, because being in a coma for such a long time, the only thing that I remember from being in the coma was God holding my hand. Hence the song that I wrote called The Hunt. And I knew that that was God. And he started speaking to me there. And when I was completely, I couldn't speak, I couldn't walk, I was numb from below the neck, couldn't say a word, I could only move my eyes. So when I was about to go forward into this, God spoke and he said to me, do you want to go back? Now, let me say something to people, because everyone wants to be holier than thou sometimes when they speak about the Lord. God speaks to us on our level, and he gets us on our level. People must not think that when you go out and you get all weird on a Friday night in a weird place, but then you're in the front of the church on a Sunday, that now you, that's fine because God just went Friday, went, okay, I'm out for now, I'll be back on Sunday. He doesn't do that. Yeah. He's always there. In fact, he's probably in one of the people you're dancing with. So he's never gone. And when he asked me, do you want to go back? I so succinctly remember, because I've developed a very funny, like, comedic relationship with God. He is the funniest entity in the world. He's wonderful, but he's so funny sometimes because he gets my sense of humor. And there was laughter. There was absolute genuine laughter. And I proceeded to once again leap forward. And for the second time, how merciful is God to then say to me, are you sure? Are you sure? And when he said to me, are you sure? I looked back into that darkness behind me, and it hit me in that moment. First of all, you do not have the right to stay here when you know that you have so much of a difference to go make. And if there's one person that you can stop from going to that place, you better go back, boy. And you better go suffer a bit more, because if God can die on the cross for your sins, I'm sure you'll be okay. And I said to him, send me back. And I woke up.
Rudy, what changed in your life now? Physically, practically, everyday stuff, and also inside of you, what changed when you came back?
I think the encompassing word is appreciation. Appreciation for all things. I see God in everything. I see gratitude in everything. I even am thankful for disillusionment and pain, because we evolve, and there are so many beautiful works of art in pain that we can evolve from and learn lessons from and pass that torch on. So I now live a life of gratitude, not only in spirit, but gratitude in humanness, to say thank you. I think that is the most important thing that we so often miss, is gratitude for the simple things. Because tomorrow, if you don't have that stupid little thing, as silly as a little mug that wishes coffee nicely, you'll know it. You'll know you don't have that mug. So be grateful for every little thing that you can.
I was wondering, because what I'm looking forward to is when you read the Bible and you read, like, how the prophets reacted to Jesus, or John at the end in Revelations, how they can't stand up before him, like his holiness and his purity is so overwhelming. You can't handle it. People, they say, like, touch my lips, Lord, I am unholy. And I'm wondering whether that beauty, that purity of Jesus, when you come back, does it affect the way you see the world, the brokenness in the world that we live in, that suddenly sin is more in your face, or that brokenness hurts your heart more, or selfishness rudeness or meanness, that all of that breaks you more?
Yeah, very, very much. But the contrary actually to that, I would rather say, instead of breaks me more, I would say I'm more aware of it. And I also feel like God has made me more apt now to handle these situations. As in, I'm a very, very emotional and empathic person. And I used to allow myself to be swallowed in by other people's wallows and fears and other people's situations, as a lot of people do. But now I can very clearly differentiate and understand what discernment is and what judgment is. And I can discern. And the beauty in that is that you are able now to help and pray for and serve and be with your fellow human being in this experience, but you don't have to be sucked into that darkness that they have. You can try to be the light in that without that affecting you. And that's a godly given thing. That's what that is.
Another thing is, as part of the Bride of Christ, we all go through stuff in our lives. And because of it, we're aware of different aspects of who God is. Like, if I need his mercy today, then his mercy is going to be impressing me most at this moment, because I'm very aware that I need it right now. Or his sense of humor, or his romance, or his patience, or whatever. So if I had to ask you, because of where you are in life right now, if you had to choose the one characteristic of the Lord that stands out to you most right now, what would it be?
Goosebumps. Goosebumps. Because I think anyone who says or denounces Christ or denounces God in any way, why, when you hear beautiful music or you see a beautiful painting that stirs your soul, do you get goosebumps? That is God. Nothing touches you to make that happen. Nothing kisses you on the cheek to make that happen. Nothing strokes your forehead to make that happen. It's the Lord going, isn't that pretty? That's what that is. That's what that is.
And I mean, you're an artist. God's an artist. I'm fascinated with this thing that God created music out of nothing, that there wasn't a concept like a note before he thought of it. And then he started playing with it. And now we know something called music. And when you create a brand new song, you're literally in line with what Jesus is doing. He's creating with you.
Exactly. And to just add to that, if I may, there's two things. When I was there, wherever there is, obviously heaven, but that in between space of option, which I don't think everyone gets, and how great is God to have given me that. But for me to be there, there were chords that I heard playing that I can still hear. Do you know how frustrating it is for me? And I cannot play them. I cannot play them because we have one octave. I don't know if people realize that we have seven notes to create with. And there have been more than 100 million songs written to date with seven notes. And not one sounds the same exactly. So how big is God to make that able to happen? And how big is God to have heaven have its own chord structure that I cannot emulate on this planet for you? I cannot play for you what I hear. It's unplayable. I cannot give it. There's no way for me to give that.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I'm an artist and I feel the exact same with colors. I mean, we are so limited with colors. He literally creates with life, real clouds, with the kinds of blues that we just don't have access to. No, I get you. I hear what you're saying. Listen, if you, after all of it, now you're sitting here, you've got the microphone, and you're speaking to South Africa, and you've got to leave them with one thing that you think, after all of this, this thing is the most important thing that a normal person on this earth should get. What would help them best?
Yeah. Know who you are so that you can help others to know who they are.
As simple as that.
Simple as that, because if you know who you are, and when I say know who you are, you better understand that that means Christ is in the equation.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you don't know who you are, because that is who you are. You are made in his image. So if you can figure that out and be content and joyous in that and love every part of yourself, I look in the mirror in the mornings every day now, where I used to look at these cuts on the stomach and I go, oh, gross. And oh, and look at that. And oh, and it was a stoma bag and it was this. And oh, now I look at myself and I go, you're quite cute. And I look at myself and I just think, you know, and I'm like, if the Lord must love you that much to have given you this, you my boy, you're okay. You're okay. You're good. Help other people be good. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. Love yourself so you can help other people to love themselves.
I like that. Congratulations, God. You did well when you made me. Man.
Absolutely. He's the best.
Listen, Rudy, let's play the song of yours, The Hand, The Hand. Many times we listen to a song and we say, oh, this is really nice. We like the melody. We like the beat. We like the lyrics and all. But we don't hear your heart while you're writing it. So I'm giving you the opportunity. What is it you want me to hear? Listen to your song.
So let me just give you it's a 1 minute thing. I was lying in that hospital, as I said, and I couldn't move. And I've never heard God speak. I used to, you know, when people say, and you're not a fool, you don't get cross like that. And they say to you, God said to me, and you think to yourself, what, did he WhatsApp you? You do. They have that sarcastic notion. Yeah. Until God actually speaks to you. And I'm an OCD person, so I pull things apart. Now, although I didn't know at that moment when I woke up what had happened, or where I know I'm in a swanky hospital, praise God for a good medical aid. I know that I'm there, and I'm looking at the ceiling, and out of everything that's perfectly fine, the one thing I notice is the little hole in the ceiling. And God then spoke for the first time, and he said to me, but really, you wrote that. And I thought I was a little bit bonky. I thought it was the meds. And so I thought, well, so I literally in my mind thought out loud, well, what did I write? And God said to me, to Tiens Jordan, you wrote, die dak is vol gate en die deure val om. Maar deur gate en goeters sien mense die son. You need to see the sun. And therefore I'm now making you still. And I then remembered the hand in my hand. And I could literally in my mind's eye see God's hand reaching out to me saying, here's my hand. All you need to do is reach up. This is the one hand that will never leave you. If you shake a stranger's hand, you never know who they will become, your spouse, your business partner, your biggest foe. But I am the Lord God, and this hand will never leave you. And then I met the Lord. That's what this is about.
Okay, people want to follow you, connect. Where do they go?
Everywhere. So they can follow me on all the basics, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We're on Deezer, Apple Music, all the iTunes things, everything. And rudyclauser.com is my webpage where they can subscribe to my newsletter. And I give live sermons often on Facebook. I will be giving one today as well. And praise God for this opportunity. And I thank you so very, very much for this. It's really always wonderful to have these discussions.
Okay, well, newsflash, you'll have to spell your name because the Rudy is without the E and the class is just with one S. And the son of you got to spell this.
All right, let's do it. RudyClause. Then I sound like a news anchor.
You sound like a Barry Mark ad guy. Definitely. Okay, here they are. The song for you to listen to, decide whether you like this or not, Rudy Klaasa, Die Hand. And it sounds like this.